everyone, and welcome to the American Israelite Newsreader podcast. So this is an extra podcast. This is a bonus feature. So those are our sound effects. Now, actually, I have some other better sound. I have a special guest here. I won't introduce him yet, but we have the Jaws. So I couldn't do this up until last Monday, when it was. I'm your co-host, Netanel Ted Deutsch, and I'm here with a special guest today, Rabbi Seth Cook. Say hello.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me, Ted.
So as a side note, we're both big deadheads, so this is like a deadhead get-together. Now, I'd have to ask you, are you going to the last show?
Unfortunately, I'm not, but I'll be there in spirit,
When Trey played with them, I drove to Chicago on Sunday to see that show, the 50th anniversary, Fare Thee Well.
Too. Yeah,
I went to that show. I had to go to that show.
Although I got to say, I'm pleasantly surprised with John Mayer's performance. I wasn't expecting him to play as well as he does play.
He does. I think
my expectations were so low.
Mine more too. Surprised. And then I saw him at one of the shows, and I was just, I don't know. Jerry was Jerry. Trey was definitely an awesome, replacement. So
I hear.
All right. So why are we here? So we are here because it's a bonus, and I wanted to introduce you this is our intro, and then give us a little bit of background of, who you are and why you're here and all that kind of stuff.
All right. So my name is Seth Cook. Like you said, I'm originally from Marion, Ohio, which if you're living in the Cincinnati area, that's one of the little nothing towns you pass on 71 when you're going up to Cleveland. Although, we did have Warren G. Harding.
Founding mountain, he was born there.
He was born there. A little bit outside, but he lived there. I went to Marion Harding High School growing up.
Now, is that, it's after Columbus, between Columbus. Okay.
60 miles north.
Okay.
So if you're on 23 or 71, you just go straight up.
Okay. All right.
I grew up there. We were one of the only Jewish families in town.
Yes, I would imagine so. Yes, yes.
So, needless to say, I didn't have so much of a Jewish background or Jewish education growing up, other than the fact that I knew that I was Jewish.
Right.
I knew that Jewish stuff was pretty much like the stuff everybody else did. Only
we have our own little thing.
We had our own little touch.
Way
of looking at things. And then my whole Jewish journey really began when my mom decided on a whim to send me to Jewish camp when I was middle school.
Okay.
So she sent me to a camp called Gucci.
Okay.
Goldman Union Camp Institute in Zionsville, Indiana.
Right. It still exists today.
They do
ads with us every camp issue.
And I think me, like many people of my age, that was incredibly impactful. I met these kids that I'd never met before.
That there are other Jews in the world, other Jewish kids.
Exactly. And as disappointed as I was to find out that the whole, Jews really secretly run the world.
Okay.
I thought they were going to let me in on it at camp.
Okay.
But unfortunately, that remains untrue.
Right.
But I did meet some great friends, which really got me thinking, what was special about these friends? Why was meeting other Jewish kids so much more impactful than just all of my other good friends that I've known for the rest of my life?
Right.
It really just got me thinking about that a little bit. Kind of came to a head when I went with Nifty to Israel.
Okay.
This was before the days of Birthright, where we actually had to pay for our trips to Israel.
Right.
And again, I turned that summer from a kid who couldn't stand the Israeli flag and the people who came back from Israel because I thought they were traitors. We're Americans. Who are you to fly another flag? To ending up just sitting there crying at the Western Wall for seemingly no apparent reason.
Okay.
And then spent the next, decade.
Did you feel when I went the first time, this was in like 98, I went to the wall, I had this overwhelming sensation within my, like I had returned after being gone for like thousands of years. I swear it was like this out of body experience. I felt my soul had like returned, and I couldn't explain it. It was like, wow. It was just this overwhelming. I don't know if you had that. I had the feeling that.
So I had this feeling, and the thing that bothered me really was I had no language to describe it.
Okay,
That I said, I feel spiritual.
Yeah.
And that's actually, much, much later, you know, after I went to Indiana University and I studied Jewish studies and philosophy and started looking around for answers in every other religion.
That's the Born program?
The Born's Jewish Studies program.
Okay, they do an ad with us too.
My mom went to IU.
Yeah, it's one of
the,
my mom was, I would have been a legacy if I wanted to go to IU.
I got to say, Ted,
it's a great school.
It's a great university.
I went to Ohio U, but I could have gone to India. Indiana's a nice school. Really nice.
And, you know, it was really when I was there that I was looking into other religions, studying everything but Judaism, looking for the answer to why I felt so uplifted in Israel. And, you know, as these stories often happen, my search eventually brought me to the door of a guy with a yarmulke on.
Okay.
Who I thought was just going to spit on me and tell me to leave, because that's kind of what I thought people with yarmulkes do to Jews without yarmulkes.
Okay.
And I showed up at the guy's house with a tie-dye shirt and my long dreadlocks. And
you had dreadlocks?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I was bought into the scene over there, you know.
Okay, so now this is... you were probably listening to a lot of Dead at the time, too.
I was listening to a lot of Dead, but really following Fish. This was post
Jerry. Yeah, we have a lot of this. Yeah, I love Fish. I think it's Fish. We met a couple. I don't know. We were debating, like, who do we like better, Dead or Fish?
So, by me, it's not really a question. I was into the Fish scene. I like the Fish scene. But when it comes to pure musical talent and music, like, there's nothing like the Dead. But,
I agree. I think there's more... And I was thinking about that the last time we talked, so I've thought about it for in terms of like storytelling and creating a you know what the Dead, it's Jerry would definitely and Fish is not much story, it's more musical than that.
And you know, I'll even say, even with Trey being an exceptionally talented guitar player, which
amazing.
He is,
he's phenomenal.
When you get into the nuts and bolts of what Jerry was doing when he was soloing and how he did it and how he was changing keys based on the chord progressions, I mean,
amazing.
Unless you're a guitar player who once asked your guitar teacher, "I want to learn how to play like Jerry Garcia," and he said,
"Good luck."
No. You know, like, so,
all right. So back to the story.
And then I just had these great experiences with these guys with yarmulkes and women who wore skirts and wigs, and kind of threw me for a curveball.
Right.
And I decided, okay, you know, there's this thing called yeshiva in Israel where you learn about, you know, Judaism from a perspective that I wasn't so familiar with time. And I'd heard the other perspectives. I thought I understood the other perspectives. And I couldn't really, in clear conscience, dedicate my life to anything until I figured out whether there was something to this other aspect of Judaism that I never studied. So I went to Israel and took a six-month trip that ended up lasting about 7.5 years.
Okay.
Met my wife, fell in love, got married, the whole thing, had a baby. And then, ironically enough, I got a call from a rabbi in Bloomington at Indiana University who was not there when I was there.
Right.
Saying, you know, I heard you went to IU, and I know you've been in yeshiva for a while. Would you like to come and take a job as the rabbi on campus at IU? At which point I quickly said, no way. There's no way I'm going from Jerusalem back to Indiana. But you know what? To humor him, I said, I'll ask my wife. You know, my wife being a city girl from Melbourne, Australia, I figured there is no way she's even going to think about this.
Right.
And I asked her, and without missing a beat, she said, when are we leaving? So I was like, darn, I guess I'm going back to Indiana. So we went to Indiana, and we spent 4 years running an organization on campus called Eisha Torah, which is an outreach and education organization to just give Jews some of the tools that they are sometimes lacking to make real adult decisions about Judaism. And again, a lot of it is because that's the boat I found myself in. You know, it wasn't that I was raised bad or poorly.
Right.
It wasn't that the people who were instrumental in my life weren't incredibly well-intentioned.
Right.
But at the end of the day,
those impact points, I guess as you'd call them, because I grew up in, you know, Rockdale Temple and the Reform, and became more religious as I grew older, and studied and, you know, studied with the rabbis and all that kind of stuff. So it's the same kind of journey, too.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
A lot of Jews. There's a big Jewish population at Indiana U. I mean,
they call it IU.
You were there when Bobby Knight was there.
So he was let go my sophomore year.
Okay.
I was there for the protests and marching through campus.
Okay.
It was an intense time.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, the truth is, Ted, that there's so many young Jews out there
seeking,
that have real questions.
Are.
And you know
they
what?
Are, yes.
The truth is that they deserve real answers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, whether they believe that the Torah is true, that there's a God, or they don't.
Right.
The answers aren't as important as getting the real information to make a decision. And if you go through life with a third grader's understanding of a God concept, then are you really making a choice whether or not you believe in God?
So, yeah.
And I feel like that was something that was kind of taken away from me. Again, without malicious intent.
Right,
it happened to be that the people in Marion were my Sunday school teachers.
You
kind of
just grew away from that. Right.
They weren't PhDs in Judaism.
I agree. Same thing. You know, you grew away from it, and then you kind of start seeking and searching and asking. And, you know, I think you, as you're in your 20s, you start asking those kind of questions.
For sure. And you know, at the time, especially when I was younger, I was in college. And when I was asking questions about other fields, if I had questions on psychology or about sociology, so I didn't just ask Joe Schmo down the street. You know, you go to your professors who are PhDs. And it kind of struck me as a little
curious. There should be a PhD of Judaism.
Right, that when I went,
exactly,
to, when I went
through
to my Jewish questions, I asked someone with a third grade understanding of Judaism.
Right.
And that was really what spurned my journey to Israel in the first place, was I'm going to go talk to the PhDs.
Yeah.
Right, there are people out there who not only believe in this stuff, but they live it. And, you know, either they're just idiots who don't know what they're talking about, in which case I'm not going to listen to them anyway.
Right.
Or maybe
they have
they
some
are
knowledge
pretty smart. You know?
Right, like, right. They have some knowledge there.
And the thing that kind of struck me the first time I met these Orthodox people was, you know, how bright they really were. I was expecting to meet morons. Honestly, you know, morons with wives who were, you know, sheepish, you know, slaves tied to the kitchen sink.
Yeah.
And I was shocked out of my mind to meet intelligent people, you know, strong women who had careers and education and it blew me away. And I felt, you know, if I can be the guy that has some of these answers and can help other people work through some of their spiritual questions, then I owe it to myself and I owe it to the Jewish people to try to do my best to help.
It takes years to get that learning and that understanding and that knowledge. I mean, you know, unless you're born like that, or born with it, where you learn it constantly and you're constantly part of it. So you are, every year we have four persons of the year, and you were chosen last year to be one of the persons of the year because of your initiative called Clean Speech Cincinnati.
And because of that $1 million donation I made to the American Israel.
We don't want to bring that up. Let's keep that.
So that was a really wonderful honor and a big surprise because, you know.
For those
in the audience, there really wasn't $1 million donation by me to the American Israel.
Well, there could be, though. There could be. So let's talk about clean. So it's, I guess, you know, our mouth and our brain and what comes out of our mouth is, like, very important. Mm-hmm. And what we say to others is also very important. And so it kind of is like a thought process of getting people to say positive things and good things towards those that are close to us and those that are around us. And that kind of, like, if you expand that out, it's kind of like, I'm like thinking like this concept in my mind of like what Clean Speech Cincinnati is. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like based on that. And then it's also the practicality of it and the usefulness of it every day.
Right. So the idea to bring clean speech to Cincinnati was a little bit of a multi-step process. Like we got here to Cincinnati after living in Pittsburgh and running a Jewish organization.
Oh, we don't
want to
talk about
that's
Pittsburgh.
Because now we're here back in the great state of Ohio, the greatest state in the union.
The Bengals. Wait a minute. Let's talk about Bengals.
So for that, you'd have to talk to my kids. My sons know a lot about the Bengals. They know a lot more than me.
Oh, yeah.
About the Bengals. But, you know, I started thinking, you know, what can I do as someone who is not rich and famous, someone who doesn't have a big reach. But I live here in Cincinnati, the greatest state in the union, in a great Jewish community.
Wait a minute, the heart of it all. It's now the heart of it all back again.
Okay, that's fine. you know, what can I do to help? And I was trying to think, you know, what really are the Jewish people all about? And I, you know, If you look at the very formation of the Jewish people, right, that we left Egypt, we all read about it on Passover, we're sitting there at Mount Sinai, where we really became like a nation. We went from being just a family and individuals
bunch
to a nation.
Bunch of little slaves that were, you know, in slavery. I mean, right. You know.
And it says that when we were sitting at the mountain, it talks about the singular, that we were like, there is one person, the whole nation, because that's our power. Right, when the Jewish people are united in something,
right,
we can be the most powerful force for change in the entire world. We have changed civilization since time immemorial. The whole world looks the way it is because of the influence of the Jewish people. And we are at our best when we are united. And looking at the world today that is so unbelievably divided up everywhere.
Well, that's
true. Trying to just think, what is something that we could all agree on?
Right.
And I thought, we can. It doesn't matter if I'm sitting down with the most, you know, left-wing Jew to the most right-wing Jew. If you ask them, would the world be better if we were nicer to each other? The answer across the board would be yes.
Right, right.
Has
right,
nothing to do with
right,
politics.
Right.
Just be
and
nicer.
You, it doesn't, and like you said, you don't have to have millions of dollars to do this. It's a like a right, grassroots basic thing that we can do.
Exactly. And I saw that there was this organization in Denver, the Jewish Experience of Denver, that had done this thing called Clean Speech, where they literally got all of the Jewish organizations in Denver
yeah,
to all partner up. This was yeah, not a, you know, Experience right, of Denver right, program. Right. This was the Jewish community of Denver got together and said, we're going to learn the law, the Jewish idea and laws about conscious speech.
Okay.
And I was like, wow. We got to do that in Cincinnati.
Okay.
So we piloted it last year, and we had over 30 organizations sign up.
Okay.
Everybody sent representatives to make videos.
Right, right.
And it got sent out. We had over 250 people signed up. We had thousands of views over social media and online, people watching the videos, being inspired by the videos. Because at the end of the day, Judaism has a lot to say about conscious living and conscious speech and just right, being more aware of what am I saying? How am I saying it?
Right.
What are the effects of what I'm saying? And, you know, I think it was Gandhi who said, you have to be the change you want to see in the world. And if we're all going to get together and say, we all need to be nicer to each other, then let's actually take some small practical steps in doing that.
Well, the other thing is, in this, I don't know if I'd say this climate, the country we live in now is very... Everybody seems like they're always on edge about everything. And anything anybody says, it's like everybody's got to react to, you know, one word or one this. And it's just, it's just so overreacting and amplified everything. You know, if you go to the news, it's like, oh, this person said this and this person said this. And it's just so amplified that we need to kind of like just tone it down, just relax and just
right,
not overreact to what everybody else is saying. And, you know, it's part of that. It's
absolutely,
all part of it, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, just not overreacting to what other people are talking about, you know.
Right. You know, on a very simple level, you know, a great lesson that Judaism teaches us is that you don't have to associate someone's actions with the worst possible intentions.
Right.
Right. Like, well, why do people overreact? Because they hear something and they say, he must be
right,
the most
going,
evil person in the world.
Right. Right.
Therefore,
right,
that's what I'm going on, right?
Yeah.
But you don't have to do that.
Right.
You can say, oh, maybe he's just like me and he misspoke.
Yeah.
Or maybe he totally didn't mean that because, you know, most people, and I think we're still at a place where we can all agree America is the greatest country in the world and American people are great people.
Yep.
And the vast majority of us are really trying to be good.
Yeah.
There are some bad apples out there for sure.
Yeah.
But that's not the majority.
Right.
So
right,
when I see somebody do something or say something that
might not have been their brightest thing.
Right, but it could be that it was just a mistake.
Yeah.
And maybe they're just like me and they really are well intentioned and just, you know, they didn't intend it to be like that or to mean like that. And if we could just change our focus a little bit, again, it's we're not saying that the bad eggs, we should say that they're good.
Right,
that's
right,
not what we're saying.
Right.
We're saying when you look at the normal average Joe, what glasses are we putting on when we look at them? And
right,
if we can just put on the same glasses to look at other people that we look at ourselves with, right? I know
or
I'm not
you'd
perfect.
Want to, right,
right. Like, I'm not perfect, and
yeah,
I understand that if someone
right,
gets mad at
right,
me, it's probably because
right,
I just made a mistake, not
right,
because I'm trying to hurt their feelings.
Right.
So if I'm going to look at myself with those glasses in the mirror, then, you know, we should turn that to the rest of the world. And I think clean speech is a really, really big first step in that direction.
Okay.
And, you know, after our, what I consider a smashing success last year, we're hoping to do volume two this year.
Okay.
And we're hopefully going to get some more partners on board. We're going to get, you know, until eventually, you know, we have the entire Jewish community and every Jewish organization and every shul and synagogue and temple in Cincinnati all on board, just saying we are willing to partner and do this thing to say that we want to be nicer to each other.
So that will start when? So it's May and it'll start so this year?
That's actually going to start November.
Okay, again, it's every November.
Year in November. Okay, and we do it that way simply because that's when all of the other cities, you know, we it's kind of gained momentum. We were in the first six, and now it's expanded to 10.
Oh, really?
Hopefully we'll have more and more. You know, Manhattan's involved. There's cities in Canada, Denver, St. Louis, Cleveland. You know, the fact that we had Cleveland and St. Louis do it last year, we actually even got the governor of Ohio to sign up and make an official proclamation declaring November Clean Speech Month in Ohio.
Okay.
So that's it's a pretty big thing.
All right.
And hopefully this is a grassroots campaign that'll just take off more and more. And
it'll really expand throughout the year. If
throughout the year, exactly.
The lesson you learn during that month, you'll continue to act upon that behavior.
Right. And we have all kinds of ideas to offer other initiatives for people who want to go beyond just the month-long program and say, listen, we want to be, you know, clean speech ambassadors. You know, we want to learn how to take this to other people. You know, this can be, and the beauty is that this is something that can be taken anywhere. You know, if you get into clean speech and you say, you know what, I want to make a Wednesday afternoon lunch and learn at my work. You know, I've got a whole bunch of Jews, non-Jews, just good people in my law firm, in my doctor's office, in my whatever.
Right.
You know, so you've got the book. So you can sit down, 10 minutes, you can learn with them. You can share these ideas with the world because these are not specific to the Jewish people.
Right, right. The whole point is that we should teach to that month, too.
Right, exactly. Right. These are ideas that can change the world
in a
very real way.
Great. All right, so we also want to talk about, you've taken a couple trips to Israel through what's called Momentum.
Correct.
And you now, was last year was the first one, or is this, I guess it was?
So it was the first one we've done.
Okay,
Momentum has been around in Cincinnati. It predates us.
Okay.
But,
you were in charge of last year,
as we got here.
Okay.
So there's actually two trips, depending on where you put the emphasis in the word. There's Momentum, which is the trip specifically for mothers.
Women
in Cincinnati. And then there's Momentum.
Okay.
Which is the male version.
Being
of
a
the
publisher,
trip.
I'm hearing some play on words here from the editorial staff.
Yep, exactly. it all depends on which letters you capitalize. So we've run one incredibly successful Momentum trip that my wife.
Well, you had photos of it, I guess, maybe a couple months ago. Recently, I forget when we did that. She sent in photos.
Right, absolutely. And it was incredibly impactful and wonderful, and it was a great way for a lot of women to kind of build a group
connection.
Of friends and connect, you know, like because we live all over Cincinnati,
we want to
make a friend group.
Okay.
And my wife is already
almost
full for the next year's trip.
Okay.
And we're just opening up registration for the men's trip, which is going to be October 30th to November 5th. It's a highly subsidized trip.
Right.
And has the advantage of not just being another birthright trip, but really bringing, you know, men all in the same kind of stage of life, all men with kids under college age at home. So not only do we get to hang out and get to develop a new group of Jewish, you know, friends.
Right.
But really the trip gives us the opportunity to work on the things that are specific to us. I think every guy out there, you know, nobody wakes up and says, you know what, today I'm a good enough dad. I'm a good enough husband. We all know that we're good dads and good husbands, but there's always room to work. So I think this trip kind of more than others gives us room to talk about how can we improve, you know, how can we share best practices, you know, what can we do to really not fall into the trap of thinking that, you know, we're good enough. That
our
wives deserve us to be getting better every day.
Okay.
And our kids deserve the best dads, which means we got to work on that.
Right. Yeah, we do.
So I'm really hoping that this can provide that type of arena for us to grow in that
way. So where do you, I mean, I imagine you travel around and go look at the sites and stuff. Where do you go and what do you do?
So we hit a lot of the high points. You know, there's a trip up north
to
see Tiberias and Tzfat.
Okay.
spend time in Jerusalem,
right,
Old
right.
City at the Western Wall, the Western Wall tunnels. We go down south to Masada and the Dead
Very
Sea.
Very cool. Been there, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, hopefully we'll see if we can work out, you know, maybe meeting with some former Israeli generals,
okay,
and things like that. Maybe some politicians. We're still working on that.
Right, right, that particular right. aspect. They have of to it. Have time to do it. They like to meet us, though. They like For to sure. meet the Americans because they, you know, it's connection there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's just a really phenomenal way to kind of get away from everything for a little bit, focus on ourselves and our own, you know, spiritual journey, our own journey as humans, as Jews,
right,
and get to develop that, you know, relationship with other Jews in the Cincinnati area.
Okay. Anything you want to add or leave us with since we're, coming to a close?
Yeah, so I think, for people who are interested in going on this Jewish journey and checking out what we have to offer and what we can offer.
Right, right.
You know, we are online. You know, if you go to www.thecjx.org,
okay,
we have a website that I personally feel is very, very cool.
You put together.
And, check us out on social media. We have active Instagram and Facebook accounts.
Okay.
And that's a really good way to just kind of, like, keep up. You can check out some of our content. We put videos on all the time.
And it's for all – it's not – we have people listening from all ages. So it's for, you know, all right, ages.
So, so CJX definitely has a presence in all arenas. My wife and I are working mostly with the adult programming, but we're not limited to that.
Right.
We have an unbelievable woman.
For kids, kids or your grandkids to get involved in some stuff.
Absolutely. And Kayla Soroka runs our Young Professionals division.
Right.
So she's running all kinds of programs for those young professionals here living in Cincinnati. And most recently, we've added the Campus Olami program, which is Rabbi and Rebbetzin Yanez, who work at the University of Cincinnati and Miami of Ohio.
Right.
So for any Jewish college students out there looking for Israel trips or Shabbat programming or just want to get some of those questions answered, they're an unbelievable resource. And, spoilers, the young professionals and college students are actually working right now on an unbelievable trip to Morocco. So if you're interested in going to Morocco and checking out some of the Jewish heritage sites of Morocco, definitely be in touch with them. Again, all of their information is also on our website and Instagram. So I would encourage people to check it out.
So it's thecjx.org. So Charlie, John, and X would be X-ray. CJX.com.
Yes, the Cincinnati Jewish Experience.
Cincinnati Jewish Experience. Okay, so this has been the American Israelite newspaper Let There Be Light podcast, bonus extra podcast. And our special guest today has been Rabbi Seth Cook. And I want to thank everybody for joining us. Remember that tell your friends about this podcast so they can listen, and also that the views expressed were only those of the speaker. So, you know, we don't want to
offend anybody. I was not speaking for anybody other than myself on this one. And,
okay.
Thanks a lot, Ted.
Thanks.
Much appreciated.
Thanks.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. And Shabbat Shalom. Have a great week.